Remember.
Yeah, I just want to do that before I forget. In a couple minutes to warm people up here. Going to give everybody another minute or so. There we go.
Same problem exists in the middle. That company, yes, you used to see her here. Because I hear she's in Chicago. Yeah, but she used to come back. Oh, they're saying, no. Well, I think she's relative.
Okay, we're going to get started. I'm going to ask you to take a moment to allow yourself to get grounded, centered. Take a couple of deep breaths. Just going to soften yourself, open yourself up to truth. And I know Paul uses this prayer, same one we use at Unity, sometimes referred to as the prayer of protection. You can say this out loud or quietly to yourself. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. So welcome to all those who are here in person, to all those who are here online, to all of the little groups that are meeting around the world that are being touched by growth, stretching, stimulating, coming. Okay, we have a little some money changers in the temple. Okay. Anybody have any leftover stuff from last week or weeks past you need to follow up on? Always open to that. And I'm open to that individually as well. If there's ever a time you want to get in contact with me, ask a question, or explore something a little bit more deeply, please feel free to get in touch. The easiest email to get me at is jerryboy@twc.com. And I'll make sure I answer your request. Today's lesson, if I look ahead a little bit, kind of explains a little bit about what's going on in the world right now. And perhaps what's going on with each one of us individually as well. So I'd like you to, as we read this over and comment on it, I'd like you to get a look at how this relates to you, how you relate to it. Knowing, please, that this is not going to define everything for you. It's not going to put everything in a nice, neat little box. Because this is not about the intellect. This is about the soul stretching. And stretching sometimes is rather uncomfortable. But sometimes that's the only way we can grow as well. So I'm going to begin on page 12 down at the bottom. The world that you see before you is actually shifting to a new level of frequency, a new expression. Somehow or another, I'm thinking about you, John. I know you probably relate to this very, very real, very closely. The world that you see before you is actually shifting to a new level of frequency, a new expression. When something changes, there is great disruption. When you are changing the stations on a radio, you may encounter static. You may understand yourself in a space of change now, where what was known is not present in the ways that it has been, and what seeks to be born is not yet confirmed by your experience. This is a useful time, a very necessary time, although it's a real pain in the ass. The guys didn't say that, but I think it's still true. I wonder what it's like to make friends with uncomfortableness. I had a priest friend of mine say, you know, you often say the peace of Christ be with you. He said, I may the restlessness of Christ be with you. Never forgot that. Don't like it so much. Well, what in you, what in, and each one of us is probably going to have a different answer to this question. What in you is waiting or wanting to be born? It's not just change for change's sake. It's the process of birth, materialization, transformation. Transformation is shifting gears from one state of consciousness to another. The best example, and I know I've shared this before, but it still strikes me as being meaningful. The most powerful way or means of transformation comes in that prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. It didn't say, let me get rid of all hatred. Let me transform the energy of hatred into love, because I can do that. And all of the other transformations we make, it's not pushing something away. It's not denying it. It's not pretending that it's not there. It's how can I transform this energy into something positive? If you're familiar with the Gospels of Christianity, all the way through, it's about the energy of transformation. That's practically all Jesus talked about: how to transform one thing, especially how to transform one thing into lovingness, peacefulness, joyfulness. What in me is calling out to be born? Or as one of my teachers put it, what's your growing edge? Where do you feel or sense yourself being pushed to that you know it's going to require some work, some sacrifice, some letting go, some transformation? Where in that is that going on with you? What area of your life? What aspect of your life? And again, it might be different today from what it is tomorrow. But I think it's an important question to ask ourselves. And then when we ask ourselves, don't try to force an answer. Be open to what the answer is. It will come to you. Spirit will speak to your soul if you're open to it. You may understand yourself in a space of change now, for what was known is not present in the ways that it has been. And what seeks to be born is not yet confirmed by your experience. This is useful time, This is necessary time. When you are cleaning a closet, you may take a look at what is about to be discarded. Understand what you no longer require. What you no longer do you still need that old fear? You still need that old piece of anxiety. You still need that old piece of anger. You still need that old piece of unforgiveness. You still need that old piece of struggle. Wherever it seems you land on that. When you are cleaning a closet, you must take a look at what is about to be discarded. Understand why you no longer require it. And the closet is being emptied now. And the accumulation of debris, that which must be relinquished, is being experienced by the collective, not just your individual consciousness. This is a world consciousness shifting. The choice is made in fear, known by each of you as what you have known yourselves through in fearful acts or in collective agreement to fear, must be re-seen so that you may choose anew. The 60s was a great time of transformation when the old systems just no longer held up. They couldn't. Unfortunately, we didn't know what to do with the freedom we were given. Okay. Kind of messed up. Now we got another chance. What are you going to do with the freedom being offered to you at this moment? Freedom to change, the freedom to transform, the freedom to be the truth of who you truly are. When we speak to will, choice, will, we speak of the aspect of the divine that operates as will. Now this is going to be really, this next paragraph could be really confusing. So don't try to understand it with your brain. Try to understand it with your heart. When we speak to will, we speak to the aspect of the divine that operates as will. Some of you foolishly say, I have free will, I will do what I want. And of course, while that is true at a certain level, indeed you have free will, it is cherished. Even this is of God because all things are of God. The restoration of will to its divine nature does not deprive you of choice. It supports you in a higher choice than perhaps you would have made prior. The freest we are, the freest I am, is to be able to choose love at any moment. I can also choose other things if I want to. But the freest I truly am is to have the ability to choose love no matter what is going on outside of me, no matter what is going on inside of me. That makes sense? That's the most free I am. Whenever I make another choice that is not of love, which I certainly can if I want to, I'm actually making another choice of attachment or addiction, something that doesn't free me, but something that actually takes away my freedom. So the choice to love at any moment, at any time, in any place, in any circumstance, is actually the freest I possibly can be in this particular moment. To my little self, it doesn't seem that way. To my small self consciousness, it seems, well, I can choose anything I want to choose. I want to choose this, I want to choose that. That's perfectly okay. But what we're asking you to recognize is when I choose from my lower consciousness, my small self, I'm actually choosing something that locks me in to a limited way of thinking, a limited way of doing, a limited way of transforming, a limited way of responding to life. When I'm responding out of a lovingness, true unconditional love, I'm responding in a way of complete and total freedom. That is when I am most free. When I am most free is when I am in love. I'm recalling, I apologize if I repeat some of the same stories, but I do because they're important. One time Ram Dass was talking about during the 70s when he was working with a lot of people who were dying with AIDS. He said, my task, my job at that particular time was to aid their transformation, their transition from physical body to immaterial body. And he said, a strange thing would happen to me. I'd be working with people, and I would know I know what they I would probably lose them in another day or so. But I connected with them heart to heart. It didn't matter that I was going to lose their physical form. And he said, you know what I discovered? When I was living on the edge of love and heartbreak was when I was most alive. Wouldn't say, well, this is uncomfortable, this is painful. When I'm living on the edge of love and heartbreak was when I was most alive. When I was making the choice to love, even though it was breaking my heart at the same time. It supports you in a higher choice than perhaps you would have made prior. How can I choose love in this particular circumstance? Let's suppose the thought comes to you about somebody, one of our politicians, let's say. We might have a difficult time, but how can I choose love in that circumstance? I can choose lower consciousness if I want to, if I choose. Is that going to make me more free? Or is that going to make me more stuck? So I'm not saying that's necessarily easy, but I'm suggesting that it's true. To understand choice is to understand desire. When desire is met in the light, it may bloom in beautiful ways. Saint Augustine once said, Lord, trying to get the exact words in my mind. Essentially, what he was saying was, Lord, you have made me, you have made us to love you, and that is the only truth. That is the only truth. To understand choice is to understand desire. When desire is met in the light, it may bloom in beautiful ways. When desire is held in the shadows, it may be malformed or confused in its requirements. Some of you say, I think I know who I am. I desire to know myself more. If you give this desire to the source, to divine consciousness, I allow my growth to be under the purview in the benediction of true source. You create a path of light. It is a spiritual path that you choose, is one an achievement. I must be seen as spiritual. I must have a dais to sit upon. I must be a miracle worker and no one else. You have claimed a path of shadow masquerading as light. There is no one more spiritual than the one beside him. Let me say that again. Oh, that quote from Augustine, you have made our hearts restless, and they will never rest until they rest in thee. You have made our hearts restless, and they will never rest until they rest in thee. So all the other stuff, and I'm as guilty of this as the next person, all the other stuff that we think somehow or another is going to make us peaceful or happy or joyful or powerful or whatever it might happen to be is not really what is going to give us that gift. You have made our hearts restless, and they will never rest until they rest in thee. To understand choice is to understand desire. When desire is met in the light, it may bloom in beautiful ways. What do you want? I want peace. I want love. I want joy. I want whatever might happen to be. Don't get locked into the form you think that's supposed to take. It will take whatever form is most useful to you at this moment. That is not created with our thinking mind. It's not created with my thought process. It's not created by my little self. It's created by my connection, my alignment to divine truth. When desire is held in the shadows, it may be malformed or confused in its requirements. So the positive side is, or the loving side is, I think I know who I am. I desire to know myself more. And then you stop. And you surrender. You let go into your divine consciousness. Because right after that is when your little self wants to try and explain what this is all about. Oh, I've got the answer. As soon as you make that declaration, I think I know who I am. I desire to know myself more. Stop. So, and now I am open. I am open as best I possibly can be to the truth of who I am and to the needs that I require at this particular moment. And I open myself to that as being my truth again and again and again and again. Not until you're satisfied, until it's time to take another breath. In between rounds, take a moment to allow yourself to absorb the truth of what you've asked for. And don't be concerned with the fact that it might be a little bit uncomfortable, might be a little bit challenging. You might find your small self getting in the way. You don't beat it up, you don't push it out of the way, you just say, oh, I know the difference between what my small self desires and what my higher consciousness desires. That little formula we gave you a long time ago, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? So even if I'm after something that seems good, if I become so determined to get it because I think it's going to make me happy or make me joyful, I'm usually locked into something that is not working. What's my growing it? What's not working in my life? How can I let go of that? How can I heal that? How can I allow that to transform? Some of you say, I think I know who I am. I desire to know myself more. If you give this desire to the source, to higher consciousness, I allow my growth to be under the purview in the benediction of true source. You create a path of light. But if the spiritual path you choose is one of achievement, chalking up points, patting yourself on the back, how great thou art. I must have a dais to sit upon, must be a miracle worker and no one else. You have claimed a path of shadow masquerading as light. There is no one more spiritual than the one beside you. There are different levels of amplitude and vibrational accord that one may align to in progress. But the progress itself, whether or not you know it, is primarily the byproduct of allowance and surrender and gifting will to a higher realm so that it may be employed. To understand the self as the employee of the divine is to allow the will to be utilized in a high way. Let's just take a minute with that. Too getting too wordy. I'm getting too wordy. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute. Take a couple of breaths. Soften yourself. Allow yourself to be enfolded in the silence for a moment. Is there anything that's getting in the way of your total peacefulness in this moment? And if there is, don't judge yourself. Just notice whatever it might happen to be. And imagine that it's like a block of ice, hard, brittle, cold. And you take it gently and you move it into the sunshine. Sunshine, which is divine love. And you let it melt. And you breathe into that space that you've created. And you allow whatever it is that need to heal, let it heal. And you allow yourself to soften even a little bit more. And if there is anything else at this moment that you need to let go of or transform, again, imagine that it's like one of those blocks of ice that you gently pick up and put in the sunshine. And you let it melt. And you breathe into that space you've created. As you become more and more aligned with the energy and power of love. And you just allow yourself to be. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall flow from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. You can stretch a bit. Take another deep breath. You can open your eyes when you're ready. What was that like? Anybody want to share their experience? You don't have to. Might be more important to keep it quiet inside yourself. But do you get a sense of what we're getting at here? That I'm in my lower self, my small self, my ego, personality, consciousness. I can allow that to choose for me. And it will always choose something that it thinks is going to make it joyful or happy or peaceful. It doesn't really work because there's always going to be something else getting in the way. Or I can allow the choice of loving to be that of my divine self, my higher consciousness, that's happening right now in this moment. And nobody and nothing is unworthy of that. Forgiveness, peace of mind, lightheartedness, openness, joyfulness. Done.
When I do my meditation,
we're going to need you to speak up just a bit more.
When I do my meditation like that, I always, it's interesting, it's like a quiet in the mind. And I can almost feel like focus goes to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I can almost feel like my heart kind of opens up. And sometimes it's neat, if I'm lucky, you know, I start to vibrate a little bit. And I said, hoo ah. Because I know what comes out of my heart is, you know, the joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. I can live with that, you know. And then when I start enjoying that, living it, I tend to fall asleep. And so, you know, when you do meditations like that, I always have to look around and say, did I snore? So.
Cool. I appreciate you sharing that. So what does that tell you? Is there a lesson there? Could be for me when that happens to me, which it does, that I have been holding on so tightly. Even as a physical reality, I mean, it touches me as a body, as a physical reality. I'm holding on so tightly that when my soul is offered the opportunity to let go, it does, and my body lets go at the same time. So I wouldn't judge that as being a bad thing, right? I would take a look at it as almost a sign or a symbol that my body is holding on so tightly that it too needs to surrender. It needs to let go. And sometimes, maybe a lot of times, what we call sleep in those states of mind are not really sleep at all. It feels that way, and that's the only way we can really define it as being sleep. But really what it is, it's all of our senses just sort of shutting down and being totally open to the process. Because what's really interesting, when I work with people who have experienced that, in let's say a meditation workshop, I said, okay, you thought you fell asleep. I said, when you came back to being in this room or being in this consciousness, did you wake up or did you just come back? And 9 times out of 10, people would say, oh, no, I didn't really wake up. I just came back here because I was in a different place. I didn't really fall asleep. I just came back. I can't define that state of mind. But to me, most of the time when we think we fall asleep in circumstances like that, we don't really fall asleep. We just are in a place of non-sensory awareness. And when I'm in a place of non-sensory awareness, there's nothing that my mind can do to define that. So next time you do that, you might want to try that on for size. Did I wake up or did I just come to? Because that's what happens to me. I said, oh, no, I didn't really fall asleep. I just came to because I was so deeply in peacefulness or joy or whatever it might happen to be, openness, right, that I was in this place where there was no definition of that stuff anymore. My mind was totally shut down. Or my mind was totally disconnected from that experience.
Gary.
Yeah, John.
What happens to me, I think my small self, higher self, we're having a dialogue. And I feel like I'm on the edge of going, seeing myself, my higher self. Don't get there. I don't know if it's my intellect trying to understand it. Just like I'm on the edge of defining who I am. And I don't know, it's like both self talking to each other. And then, like you said, I think I get confused, and that's like, well, just come back to love. Seems like the answer because I'm all mixed up.
It's a perfect act of surrender. What happens to me is, let's say when I'm doing work like this, reading a book or talking about a chapter or piece of work like this, is that my intellect, my small self, my personality consciousness, which is connected to my intellect, my thinking mind, kind of goes as far as it can go. And then it hits a point where it's demanding an explanation for something, or it reminds me of the necessity of surrender at that particular moment. Okay? Surrender happens when I let go and I just allow whatever is churning around, I just allow it, let it be. I don't have to use it to define who I am. I kind of let that be and let myself be in the midst of all of that, as you said so very well. I don't get into an argument with it, trying to define something. I just got that's my mind trying to define something. I kind of let it, I sort of pick it up, put it over here, let it do whatever it needs to do, and allow myself to be at peace or be in love. This doesn't go away, it's still there. I'm just not defining myself in terms of that. Does that make sense? So because I use my mind a lot. I use my intellect a lot. It's how I've learned how to learn. Okay. And so it becomes a little bit difficult for me to stop doing that. So in other words, instead of trying to stop doing that, I just let it do whatever. It's like talking teeth. You know, you wind them up and they kind of chatter like this. I just let it do what it needs to do, and I allow myself to be in that space of spaciousness of love or surrender or whatever might happen, of joyfulness or whatever, and just allow myself to be there. And I will probably become, 30 seconds from now, I'll probably become distracted again, and I'll have to pull myself back. Jack Kornfield, the Zen Buddhist author, says, meditation like that, like we're talking about, is like, he calls it puppy training. The mind is like a little puppy that I have to keep picking up and putting it over on the papers, knowing full well that 30 seconds after I do that, it's gonna go walking around and peeing on the rug, and I'm gonna have to put it on the papers again. And he said, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way it works. So you know, you did. My meditation period might be spending most of my time in meditation of picking up the puppy and putting it over in the papers. But that's still useful. I'm not condemning myself. I'm not judging myself. I'm just doing what I need to do. And eventually what's going to happen is the dog's little puppy is going to get sick and tired of moving off the paper, going to stay there for a while. And stay there for a while, and I'm going to go. And then maybe 30 seconds later, it's going to be back. That's just the way it works. But those moments, that's where it really happens. Might be a split second to my thinking mind. Those moments ago, that's where it really happens. That's where change occurs. That's where transformation happens. That's where looking at things, looking at myself, looking at love differently than the way I might have with my small consciousness. That's when that takes over. That's when I can be grateful again, again, again. Let me just do one more piece before we close with another meditation. Progress itself, whether or not you know it, is primarily the byproduct of allowance and surrender and gifting will to the higher realm that it may be employed. To understand the self as an employee of the divine is to allow the will to be utilized in a high way. So we're going to close with another short meditation. Close your eyes again. Deep breath. Notice your mind chattering away, doing what it does, looking for answers. Pay attention to me, I'm important. And notice that there's a part of you that's noticing your mind. And that part that's noticing your mind has a choice. I can make my mind the center of attention, or I can allow the manifestation of my higher consciousness to be my truth in this moment. And the choice to do the latter, like my higher consciousness, my focus, flows. It's not pushing, it's not forcing anything to happen, it simply flows from the heart of you. Even when all of this noise is going on, it flows from the heart of you. And allow it to flow with your body, your mind, your emotions. Getting a deeper sense of who you truly are. And with a sense of love and gratitude, taking another deep breath, stretching a bit physically, psychically, and when you're ready to, you can open your eyes. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for creating this sacred space that we're all a part of. It would not be the same without you. Unique experience shared by all of us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See you guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.